Yes, folks, that hurricane is blowing, and it's getting stronger every week as we watch this tyranny explode upon the American people. And it's such a shame, because yet today we have millions of people in this country who still believe that if they can just find the right word to put in a legal proceeding, if they can find the right thing, they can cause these people to stop what they were doing. People, I would ask you a very simple question. When, if ever, have you ever been able to get a criminal to change their mind because you changed the wordage of a document? Come on. You really can't be that stupid. But as I said, I promised that I would read from my document, which was turned down by Mr. Rockwell on June the 27th of 2005. Now, he would not print it. Now, one of the things, I read my other article for you, and I want to tell you that I caught a little bit of H-E-double-L, for actually stating, as I did that first article, because libertarians, especially 20 years ago, wanted open borders. They still do. But they're not going to tell you that because it's too sensitive right now. But I had written that article, and that first article, and boy, did I catch a dickens from the wonderful libertarians for saying that we ought to do something to protect our own border. So here's the article. Now I'm going to let you decide. It was written, again, June 27, 2005, published. Well, no, it wasn't published. I'm sorry. But in the month of April, here's what it says. In the month of April, I traveled to the Arizona border and worked as a volunteer leader with the Minuteman Project. Upon returning, I wrote an article that appeared at LRC, LouRockwell.com. For several days that followed, I received many emails, including fellow writers at LRC, who took issue with my stance on protecting our borders. I understand the issue this raises with those who believe in the open border policy advocated by many libertarians. My question to them would be this: can we live with the theory of open borders when obviously what we are experiencing is not people immigrating for a better way of life, but an actual invasion? The one question that I never received an answer to from all of those who wrote me in opposition to my position was this: with the current open border policy and the welfare state, how do we protect the private property of not only those who live on the U.S. side of the border, but others whose private property is being destroyed by the criminal element that constantly flows across our porous borders, both north and south? While one of my most respected writers at LRC touched briefly on the objections to free immigration in an article he wrote, and he mentioned in that article Hans Hermann Hoppe in his work, I believe there was absent a delving into the meat of Hoppe's argument, in which he addresses what he believes to be an invasion as opposed to free immigration. Folks, we're in the middle of an invasion. Whether you want to believe it or not matters not a hill of beans. But in Hoppe's work on free trade and restricted immigration, he states, and I quote, "In light of steadily mounting immigration pressure from the world's low-wage regions, three general strategies of dealing with immigration have been proposed: unconditional free immigration, conditional free immigration, and restrictive immigration. While our main concerns will be with the latter two alternatives, a few observations regarding the unconditional free immigration position are appropriate, if only to illustrate the extent of its intellectual bankruptcy." the position of the United States government is intellectually bankrupt. Now, you can love them all you want to, but it's true. As for unconditional free immigration, Hoppe's words are certainly relevant if one is a close-up observer of our basically totally unprotected borders today and the millions here illegally who demand their share of welfare entitlements and the politicians who seek votes by insisting these immigrants receive the fruits of the labors of others. Quote, and this is from Hans Hermann Hoppe, since unconditional free immigration must be regarded as a prescription for national suicide, the typical position among free traders is the alternative of conditional free immigration. According to this view, the United States and Switzerland would have to first return to unrestricted free trade and abolish all tax-funded welfare programs. And only then should they open their borders to everyone who wanted to come. In the meantime, while the welfare state is still in place, immigration would have to be made subject to the condition that immigrants are excluded from domestic welfare entitlements. Unquote. Oh, exclude the immigrants from all of the free stuff. Ain't gonna happen, folks. I don't care who is president. Here, Hoppe draws a distinction between free trade and free immigration. And I quote again from Hoppe's work. There is no analogy between free trade and free immigration and restricted trade and restricted immigration. The phenomenon of free trade and immigration are different in a fundamental respect. And the meaning of free and restricted in conjunction with both terms is categorically different. People can move and migrate. Goods and services of themselves cannot. Put differently, while someone can migrate from one place to another without anyone else wanting him to do so, goods and services cannot be shipped from place to place unless both sender and receiver agree. Trivial as this distinction may appear, it has momentous consequences. For free in conjunction with trade then means trade by invitation of private households and firms only, and restricted trade does not mean protection of households and the firms from uninvited goods or services, but invasion and abrogation of the rights of private households and firms to extend or deny invitations to their own property. In contrast, free in conjunction with immigration does not mean immigration by invitation of individual households and firms, but unwanted invasion or forced integration. Unquote. Hoppe elaborates on the view that illegal immigrants are nothing more than foreign invaders who are forcing themselves on those who have no choice but to receive them because their government says so. And I quote, with respect to the movement of people, the same government will have to do more in order to fulfill its protective function than merely permit events to take their own course, because people, like products, possess a will and can migrate. Accordingly, population movements, unlike product shipments, are not per se mutually beneficial events because they are not always necessary and invariably the result of an agreement between a specific receiver and a sender. There can be shipments of immigrants without willing domestic recipients. How many of you folks are willing to receive these millions of people walking across our border? That's my interjection, not Hoppe's. Continuing with Hoppe. In this case, immigrants are foreign invaders, and immigration presents an act of invasion. Surely, a government's basic protective function includes the prevention of foreign invasions and the expulsion of foreign invaders. Now, take a look at Article 4, Section 4. Back to Hoppe. Just as surely, then, in order to do so and subject immigrants to the same requirements as imports of having been invited by domestic residents, this government cannot rightfully allow the kind of free immigration advocated by the free traders in this government, unquote. In my view, Hoppe could not be more correct in his belief that the government should protect its citizens from the foreign invasion of those who enter our country illegally. In fact, the Constitution demands it. And I quote, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion." Again, people, your people in your government, your Congress, your president, and your Supreme Court, and your federal judges are criminals. Live with it. I understand how one can idealistically look at free immigration and believe that to place restrictions on the free flow of people is inconsistent with liberty. Those who support this view should travel to the border and see firsthand the destruction that is being wrought on the private property of our citizens. Slaughtered livestock, water lines dug up from the ground and left running in an environment where water is as valuable as gold. Fences destroyed, homes invaded and burned, citizens literally afraid to walk to the mailbox unarmed, private property owners who have actually deserted their property to avoid the constant harassment, threats, and violence, and the refusal, inability of our government to protect them from this destruction. In fact, many of our politicians, now folks remember this was written in 2005, including Congressman Raul Grijalva of Arizona, have sought federal intervention against those private property owners who seek to protect their property from these invaders. His words on the subject speak volumes. Now, Mr. Grijalva was a proud Marxist, didn't care who he told. Now, here's his quote. "An atmosphere exists in southern Arizona that threatens to ignite in a flashpoint of violence. The words and actions of these groups," now please understand he was talking about private property owners, "are evidence of an armed racial movement intent on taking the law into their own hands. We cannot allow the complex issues in U.S.-Mexican border policy to be hijacked by individuals who have chosen to break faith with our government and take matters into our own hands." Notice he didn't say break the law. He said broken faith with our government. People, if you have faith with this government right now, you deserve every darn thing you get. Back to my words in my article. "In my view, this issue is one of national security more than any other. Our runaway government's reckless foreign policy has created a plethora of enemies who seek our own destruction, not just of our government, but of the citizens as well for supporting that government. Allowing those who wish to destroy us unfettered access to our property and our lives is ridiculous in the extreme." Why is the government doing this? "Our insane policy concerning those who are invading our country and seek to do us harm is most obvious in the following. When natives of Mexico are apprehended after crossing illegally into this country, they are fingerprinted, given food and water, medical attention if needed, and then they're transported back to Mexico. But an illegal from any other country, including those of with whom we are at war, even though these wars are illegal and immoral, are taken to a city such as Tucson, Arizona, where they are processed, given a trial date to appear in court, and then released on their own recognizance. I am not telling you a lie. That is true. They are released. I ask a Border Patrol sergeant in Bennigan's restaurant in Sierra Vista, how many of these people return for trial? And he started laughing uncontrollably. And he said, "Michael, surely you're joking. They don't show up. It's designed that way." That is, like he said, less than 5% ever return to honor their court date. Now, those people are all over this country right now. "To doubt the millions crossing our border and the millions already here constitute an invasion is, to me, personally baffling. Immigrants migrate for a better way of life while invaders come to dominate and control. One need only listen to the words and writings of the invaders and their supporters, many of whom are teaching in our institutions of higher learning here in the United States. Now, I remind you again, folks, this was back in 2005. So here is what I wanted to make sure that I got out there. And let me find where that one ends, because I wanted to continue with that article. And talk about what Hans Hermann Hoppe had said. And so let me see if I can find a place here to start. And what he had said. And that would be, start right here, where I talked about Raoul Grijalva, and then let me move on just a little bit part. Oh. And I looked at this, and let me see. Ah, here we go. Let's look at what was said. Now, remember, folks, again, this is 2005. Let me give you some quotes here. And I apologize again for taking for a moment, a few extra moments there to find my notes. But again, I said, these are going to be from people. Now, remember, this is 2005. This is almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, almost. And this is what professors were saying 20 years ago. Professors in the schools where you send your kids and pay good money to send them there. Here is what you would have heard. And I quote, California is going to be a Hispanic state, and anyone who doesn't like it should leave. They should go back to Europe, unquote. Mario Obledo. Here's another one for you. Quote, the border remains a military zone. We remain a hunted people. Now, you think you have a destiny to fulfill in a land that historically has been ours for 40,000 years. And we are a new mestizo nation. And they want us to discuss civil rights? Civil rights? What law made by a white man to oppress all of us of color? Female and male. This is our homeland. We cannot, we will not, and we must not be made illegal in our own homeland. We are not immigrants that came from another country to another country. We are migrants, free to travel the length and breadth of the Americas because we belong here. We are millions. We just have to survive. We have an aging white America. They're not making babies. They're dying. It's a matter of time. The explosion is in our population, unquote. José Ángel Gutiérrez, professor and attorney, University of Texas at Arlington. Now here's another one for you folks. The ultimate ideology is the liberation of Aztlan. Communism would be closest to our goal. Once Aztlan is established, ethnic cleansing would commence. Non-Chicanos would have to be expelled. Opposition groups would be quashed because we have to keep the power. Now, who said that? Miguel Perez of Cal State Northridge. He was a member of the MECHA, Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán chapter. Now, let's look and see what else we got here. As an academic mission, I'm proposing it El Norte as a thesis, but I'm also an advocate of that idea. I myself, through the way I teach my classes and to the students I help form in the classroom, That's my activism. The main incentive would be so people of the same culture, language, and identity could develop their own nation state under the principles of self-determination, unquote. Now, who said that? Chicano Studies professor Charles Trujillo at the University of New Mexico, who advocates that California, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Arizona secede from the United States and form the Chicano Republic of El Norte. 20 years ago, folks. Professor Trujillo is a self-described disciple of Chicano Marxist terrorist Reyes Lopez Tijerina. Tijerina and his terrorist group have been advocating retaking the Southwest since the mid-1960s. In June of 1967, Tijerina led his gang in an assault on the courthouse in Tierra Amarilla, New Mexico. During the attack, he approved that his violence was totally non-discriminatory. He and his fellows shot fellow Mexican-American jailer Julio Salazar in the face, pistol-whipped fellow Mexican-American undersheriff Dan Rivera, and killed fellow Mexican-American deputy sheriff Nicanor Saizon. Professor Trujillo claims that the new nation of El Norte should be established by any means necessary. Are you beginning to understand this, folks? Well, let me continue. Again, a quote, "These are the critical years for us as a Latino community. We're in a state of transition, and that transformation is called the Browning of America. Latinos are now becoming the majority because I know that time in history is on the side of the Chicano Latina community. It is changing in the future and in the present, the balance of power of this nation. It's a game. It's a game of power. Who controls it are like the generals. You who control it are like the generals that command armies. We're in a state of war. What this means is a transfer of powers. It means control." Unquote. Now that came from none other than Armando Navarro, a professor of ethnic studies at the University of California, Riverside. Now folks, I would ask you, are those the words of those who seek only economic opportunity in this country? While I am in complete agreement with others that the state will only use this issue to pass more oppressive legislation against its own citizens, I hardly see how allowing the free flow of immigrants who are determined to colonize the southwestern United States will ever stop this oppression. If the ignorant among us show an unwillingness to buckle to the desires of the state, there will always be another new Pearl Harbor. I was asked on two separate occasions this past week to be a guest on talk radio out of Mexico City. During my appearance on the radio shows, I asked the host if he locked the doors of his home at night and when he was away. He finally, after I repeated asking the question until he finally answered, said that yes, I do lock my doors. When I asked him why, he said, "I want to keep unwanted people out of my home. People who might steal my property or harm my family." Well, my question to him and to others today is this very simply. Why should we not control our borders for the exact same reason that you lock your doors? Folks, you know, I stop and think about this in my time on the border. And I remember the wonderful people I met that lived in that region, you know, from Patagonia to Bisbee, and those people who lived on the border and had their water pipes burst, you know, cut and destroyed, and had holes cut in their fences so their cattle could get loose. And then they had found, you know, their cattle where someone had just killed a you know, a heifer or what have you, and just for a piece of meat, and left the rest to rot and deteriorate. And the people who would come through and just cut. And, you know, I remember that invasion, that military invasion of San Pedro. And then I also mentioned when we lived in California, I remember the reports that came through from some farmers who said that they had ordered diesel fuel, you know, for their farm equipment. And you have to remember how remote southern Arizona is. And that while they were actually traveling down the road, they actually had a Mexican military helicopter land and block the road and demand to be refueled out of their fuel. And yet, no one in Arizona government back then when we lived there wanted to talk about this, who wanted to deal into these situations. Well, to doubt the millions crossing our border and the millions already here constitute an invasion is just absolutely unrecognizable to me. How can you avoid this? Immigrants migrate for a better way of life while invaders come to dominate and control. What are these people doing? We need only listen to the word and writings of the invaders, as we have done. And they are teaching in our schools. Why is that permitted? Why do we allow people who preach, oh, I know, freedom of speech? Yeah, try to tell that to the people who are serving time for the January 6th crimes. Try finding out if that works for you. Well, anyway, I hope that you folks who listen and tune in here to RBN, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. I truly do. I hope you had some wonderful quality time with your family. Because believe me, that's what it's all about. And one of the reasons that I switched to CCR and the music, Bad Moon Rising, is because I don't think most Americans have the historical knowledge to be able to see the patterns and to see what's coming. I just don't see it. I don't understand it. So, you know, I would hope that more Americans would wake up. And I have to tell you, I do have some hopes in that regard, that they are beginning to wake up. I do. Because I'm seeing more and more of that. I'm seeing more and more people contact me with more and more questions. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic that it's happening. But I also remember that my grandfather told me when I asked him, I said, Paul, what's it going to take for enough people to wake up to ever make a change? And he said, boy, pain. They have to hurt. They're not going to do anything as long as they feel comfortable. And boy, is he. Well, here comes Roger Miller and that wonderful sound about government. God bless you, folks. God bless you, Roger. We'll be back and we'll take some phone calls on the flip side here. Thanks, guys. God bless.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Gosh, guys, how in the world do you ever interrupt that? Well, welcome back to Rebel Madman Radio here at Republic Broadcasting Network. And folks, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Hit that donate button. You know, if we're going to be free, we're going to need free speech, because you can't be free without it. And so, folks, and also just to let you know, again, that immediately after we reach the top of the hour, my good friend Blackbird 9, that other blackball spook, is going to jump in and to start his roundtable. I'm going to take a couple of minutes off for necessary arrangements, and then I will come back in. And, you know, I don't really care if I say anything. I just want to listen to this group of people that Frederick has rounded up, including some hosts here at RBN. And Stephen Douglas Whitener and Mr. Carey, Richard Carey. We've got those folks. We've got some other wonderful guests. RBN has through Blackbird 9. We have these. But just to read you something very quickly. And I quote, "It is necessary to recognize that the ultimate power of every government, whether of kings or caretakers, rests solely on opinion and not on physical force. The agents of government are never more than a small proportion of the total population under their control. This implies that no government can possibly enforce its will upon the entire population unless it finds widespread support and voluntary cooperation within the non-governmental public, unquote. Wonderful quote by Hans Hermann Hoppe. And the Department of Homeland Security issued a report on April the 7th. I'm trying to think what year it was, but they titled it Right-Wing Extremism. Now, we're going to let all of the illegal aliens we possibly can across our borders to come in, even with suitcase nukes. But that is not what we need to be concerned with. We need to be concerned with right-wing extremism. Because current economic and political climate fueling resurgence and radicalization and recruitment. Oh, things might be getting bad. Gosh, we can't have people reacting to the fact that we're stealing everything they have. Well, the unclassified part of that report is an open admission that the United States government is a criminal enterprise, while the American Idol faithful will have trouble connecting the dots. And that goes for the bowl game folks as well. The admission is thinly veiled, but it's there nonetheless. One can determine the character and integrity of individuals and governments by examining the entities they refer to as their enemies. The United States government now says it is threatened by and will protect itself from the following. Quote, those who believe in the constraints placed on a constitutional government. Those who believe in state sovereignty. Those who believe in the right to keep and bear arms. Those who abhor state-sponsored infanticide. Those who fear the ramifications of illegal immigration. Alleged white extremists. The fear of an economic turndown. Those who oppose state control of their everyday lives. And veterans who are returning from this government's illegal and immoral wars. The unclassified version of that report is also an admission of criminality on the part of this government and the fear of the demand for enforcement of the rule of natural law by its citizens. What is in the classified section is certainly more damning to the government and a stronger admission of criminality and the fear of informed citizenry. Otherwise, why would they hide its content and classify it? By law, information can only be classified to protect national security objectives. The question is, whose national security objectives are best served by this assessment? And are these national security objectives contrary to natural law? Most revealing is the inclusion in this report of returning veterans, those trained by the state to deprive others of their lives and rights. Now, let me quote from that official report for you. Returning veterans possess combat skills and experience that are attractive to right-wing extremists, unquote. Oh, my gosh. They've been trained. Department of Homeland Security is concerned that right-wing extremists will attempt to recruit and radicalize veterans in order to boost their violent capacities, unquote. Well, folks, find yourselves an outlaw motorcycle club and walk through and ask them how many of them are veterans. I think you're going to be surprised. You know, that old Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, she was forced to back off the veterans as a threats issue as Director of Homeland Security. And, you know, the crazy woman even openly apologized. Well, anyone who believed for a moment that she was sincere in that apology needs some very quick psychiatric care. If placing veterans on the list was not intentional and purposeful, then why were they on the list to start with? Perhaps someone with this wonderful government has cognitive history, or perhaps there is a natural fear by those in the employ of this radical government of anyone who possesses the training and experience to stand forcibly for their rights as defined by their creator. In revisionist history, the Battle of Athens, Alabama, is overlooked and or forgotten by many. In 1946, folks in McMinn County, Tennessee, veterans suffering under a criminal local government and a refusal by state and federal authorities to address this corruption took up arms to reclaim their rights. Many of these folks were veterans of World War II and had recently put their lives on the line in combat against oppressive government in Europe and the Pacific and refused to tolerate the same in America. Possibly mentioned in the classified portion of the warning to law enforcement personnel from Homeland Security about extremist groups were motorcycle club members. Well, I personally received information from several members of these outlaw motorcycle groups with stories about harassment from law enforcement since the Homeland Security warning was made public. It appears that these motorcycle club members wearing colors but riding alone have been stopped and questioned, even to the point of having their bikes confiscated on totally trumped up charges. What a wonderful word. I love that, trumped up. One such club member personally told me, he was told by the cops who stopped him, took three cars to stop one motorcycle in Southern California, that guys like him are on the list of suspected terrorists. Now, that member, the person I talked to, was a member of a club whose membership is made up of almost entirely veterans. Left-wing extremists are conspicuous in their absence from any terrorist warning groups. Could that be because they are currently in elected office or otherwise employed by this government? Folks, I tell you what, there is a bad moon rising. The government is committing crimes against the people, and they want protection. Can you imagine that? They want protection. You know, they want protection from the people as they come up with this stuff. You know, I tell you what, I am just absolutely amazed as I look through this and I see it over and over and over again. And I don't know why that enough Americans can't wake up. But as I look out my window and I look down at the people, even though it's cold and it's chilly, they have campfires going, they have tailgate meetings going, because Georgia is playing Florida State in the Orange Bowl. If a person were to go to all of these people all gathered up for this bowl game, what do you think the odds are that you could get any of them whatsoever to participate in such a discussion as we've had today? And if you want to know, without a doubt, that is why we're in the mess that we are in, is because Americans do not care to be free. They want to be comfortable. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I look back in the Department of Homeland Security, the Missouri Militia Report, and Virginia's Homegrown Terrorism Report have unleashed an attack designed to demonize and dehumanize the opponents of this tyrannical government. The unclassified list of those viewed as potential threats and terrorists include anyone who opposed abortion, groups opposed to illegal immigration, third-party political supporters, supporters of the Second Amendment, those stockpiling food, water, and ammunition, those who might, you know, through simple ignorance, call themselves constitutionalists. Veterans are bad guys, critics of the United Nations and one world government, and anyone who might fit the right-wing extremist white profile. Conspicuous in its absence in Department of Homeland Security's report is any mention whatsoever of Maoist, Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Trotskyites, or National Socialist as a terror threat. In short, our government exhibits no fear whatsoever of socialism and fascism. Could it be because they're socialist and fascist? It only fears those who would hold it accountable to natural law. What we know from the Department of Homeland Security and its fusion centers concerning whom the state views as its enemies is alarming indeed. What should be of even greater concern is what we don't know that is contained in the classified section of their reports, Homeland Security's reports, to law enforcement agencies around the country. This information is actually classified to keep it away from the enemy. That's why you classify information. Why is the American public considered to be the enemy? And how would we ever plan to defend ourselves or to deal with this issue? I have, folks, I tell you, I feel a bad moon rising. It's coming. I don't think it's going to be a great deal of time whatsoever in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I just don't see it happening. Americans, the vast majority of Americans, don't have the courage to face the truth. It's one of the things I love about RepublicBroadcastingNetwork.com, or .org, I'm sorry. It's one of the things I love about them. Is the fact that, yeah, we have people out there who say things directly opposite of me. We've got some people who come on and talk about how wonderful the Constitution is and how it is so special, and if we'd only just learn to use it. You know, if you bought yourself a new vehicle or a new horse or something, and 235 years later you hadn't figured out how to use it, who do you blame that on? Supposedly, allegedly, that's how they keep people going in this country. That's how they keep people jumping on, going, oh, as Patrick Henry said, we shall listen to that siren song of hope until we are all turned into beasts. Look around you. What do you see? You don't see manly men anymore. You see men who want to participate in women's sports. I can't, folks, I'm an old man. I can't even imagine what that would have been like if someone would have said that when I was just beginning high school or in high school. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you, and I came from the mountains of Appalachia. I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure that any man who decided that he was going to be a woman and play in women's sports back when I was in school. I'm not sure he'd be with us today. I just got to be honest with you. How far down in the cesspool of history has this world become? Well, let me throw a little bit at you. We've got a little bit of time left here. And I want to throw something at you tomorrow night. We're going to be coming at you. Old Scorpio is going to join me. I think Scorpio has asked me to join him tomorrow evening, which I'm looking forward to doing. But tomorrow we're going to come up. You know, we're going to have some questions. Stephen Douglas Whitener will be joining us. We're going to be asking some questions, some tough questions. Can you handle them? What's that ad at RBN? We can handle the truth. Can we? Can all of us handle the truth? I have some questions. I do. If we can we in actuality handle the truth? Well, one must answer, I guess. You know, we'd try to think about it. You know, when I stop and think about, you know, and I realize I was talking with one of my good buddies from northern Arkansas, and we were talking on the phone, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm not sure whether my years inside this beast, working in the oxymoronic field of government intelligence, I'm not sure whether that was a blessing or a curse. Because, you know, I've often wondered, I'm just going to be honest with you, I've often wondered how wonderful it must be to be institutionally stupid. Because nothing bothers you except for extraneous stuff that doesn't matter and never will. I get people, you know, wanting to issue a challenge on Facebook about the word citizen. Do you really think that the federal government cares what you call yourself? Do you really think that? Do you think that the federal government that would jab you, your kids, your grandkids, and anybody else full of poison, do you really think they care if you call yourself a certain name? If you change your status? Do you think they care? Let me ask you a question. You know, just like I said before, this government does not want to protect this border. We've sent enough money to the Ukraine to build 5 walls. Sending money to Ukraine has helped who in America? How? Oh, but we had those churches running out flying those flags, didn't we? Oh, the Ukraine flag flew higher than the Christian flag. Folks, either wake up or go to sleep forever. Because there's not much else I can tell you. You have to understand. You know, and I'm so tired. I'm going to say this before we run out of time. I'm so tired of people coming up with this slavery issue. This slavery issue. Over and over and over again. Why did the Federalists put slavery into the Constitution? It wasn't in the Articles of Confederation. Commerce. They wanted to make money. You know, as Oliver Ellsworth said at the Constitutional Convention, well, if you folks in the South get to count your slaves as 3/5 of a person, we in the North ought to be able to count our chickens and our horses and our hogs. Don't you think? People, if you don't understand the mentality of what you're dealing with, there is no way to survive this mess. And again, we're running down on time here. I hope my buddy Blackbird9 is prepared to jump and run and take this thing as we proceed forward. And I will jump out for a few minutes, but I shall be back because primarily I want to listen. I want to listen to what these people have to say. I get tired of listening to myself. Yeah, there's probably some folks out there that would agree with me. I ought to shut up. Well, I can't do it. I can't stop. Rightful liberty drives my soul. And as long as the good Lord gives me a pulse, there's going to be my fight for rightful liberty. If you don't like it, disappear. I don't care. I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about anything but rightful liberty for the people in this country who so richly deserve it. And I certainly appreciate that. And I want to take time to tell you folks, you know, you've got some wonderful guest hosts out here. You've got Stephen Douglas Whitener, you got Dave Scorpio, you got Richard Carey, you've got others who are truly trying to wake up the American public as much as they possibly can. And the one thing I know is we've got to stop fighting each other and start fighting our mutual enemy. And we all know who that is. If anyone anywhere is trying to divert you away from fighting this enemy, they are doing so for a reason. And folks, again, if at all possible, support RBN in any way that you possibly can. We've got a show coming up tomorrow night. I think we've got a show coming up on New Year's Day. I'm really looking forward to that, because freedom and rightful liberty need all of the supporters that they can possibly find. And so, again, and folks, I just want to thank these folks at RBN, these producers and what have you, who work so very hard for us. And I certainly appreciate it. Thank you, folks. The last rebel. Yes. Dear Lord, please don't let me be the last rebel. Let there be more. Thanks, guys. See you in a few.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.